even looking carefully at the instructions that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10, he's advising the apostles of eventually fulfilling the role as a rebel, of being wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove, that I send you out sheep amongst wolves, that you will cause dissension between families and friends. So I don't think we should always identify rebel as something negative, but it's something that's perhaps at the core of our Christian approach to life in this fallen world.
A very interesting line of reasoning. Those quotes from Matthew 10 are found in verse 16. Later in the same chapter, down at verse 34, Jesus tells his disciples not to think that he has come to bring peace to the earth. Whoever doesn't take his cross and follow him is not worthy. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for Christ will find it. More on this as we continue a broadcast we call Come Receive the Light, along with a discussion about spiritual healing.
So I think it's very important for us to hold our ground, and that we try and retain this vision of the human person as a integrated entity of body and spirit.
Body and spirit, serving the Creator of the universe, seeking His will, and doing His work. I hope you can stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. I promise you some good food for thought, based on God's Word. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the founder and executive director of the Orthodox Christian Network, our parent outreach, and also the new president of Hellenic College Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. We're on the web at myocn.net and also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. If you haven't checked us out on Facebook yet, I humbly suggest that you do, and maybe like us, join several hundred thousand others who already have. Although joining the masses who've liked us on Facebook seems to perhaps go counter to our rebellion theme today. Ponder that as we hear from our first guest today, Henry McGrath, who is the only Orthodox Christian Chinese herbalist and acupuncturist we've had on Come Receive the Light.
Welcome, Henry.
Thank you very much, Father. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Well, Orthodox Christian Chinese herbalist. Now, that's not something you hear every day. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been Orthodox and how you came about Chinese medicine.
Yeah, well, I was brought up an atheist, both my parents having left the Roman Catholic Church. Initially, I was drawn to Eastern religions and Chinese medicine, which I started studying about 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. I became Orthodox about 5 years ago, and I would say in some ways Chinese medicine was for me a kind of way into the church, maybe a kind of preparation.
How so?
It helped me see that the universe was a harmonious creation, mm-hmm. and that we were somehow called to strive to attain harmony with this, rather than the view I was brought up with, an atheist view really, that ultimately life doesn't have any meaning. Mm-hmm. I think Chinese medicine helped me get away from that towards the idea that somehow there's a beauty, there's a harmony within the universe, and that we can somehow participate in that. And I hope it's not too blasphemous to say, but perhaps in a sense for me, Chinese medicine was a kind of Old Testament for me, a way that prepared me or led me into to the Orthodox faith.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a very interesting article about some similarities and differences in the way that Orthodox and Chinese view illness. And I think our listeners will be interested to hear that. So let's start by hearing some of the similarities. Illness is affecting both spirit and body, and healing, and both are necessary.
That's right. Well, I think one very important point here is that the Chinese view is very similar to the Christian view in one sense, is that illness actually comes about as a result of man falling away from harmony with the divine principle. So according to Chinese medicine, man has fallen away from the Tao. He's lost communion with the Tao, if you like, mm-hmm. and therefore illness has arisen. So this is obviously very similar to the Chinese teaching of the Holy Fathers, is that illness came into mankind when Adam and Eve fell, essentially. And this is when illness started to affect the human race. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. The earliest ever Chinese writing, written in about 1500 BC, is actually written on tortoise shells. It narrates the history of the fall in a way which is very similar to Genesis. And the knowledge of man's living in harmony with the divine is also contained in other texts of Chinese medicine. For example, a book written in 200 BC called The Yellow Emperor's Classic. So this is very similar to the Christian view of illness in that sense. And this means that we must, in order to get well, we must strive to follow God's will. Or as the Chinese would say, we must strive to attain harmony with the divine principle, with the Tao. Because when our spirit is turned towards God, our body tends to become healthy. But if our spirit is sick, then our bodies tend to become sick as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea has been completely lost, as I see it, by Western medicine, which seems to ignore the role of the spirit in illness.
But is it not also in Western medicine? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but does Western medicine not also deal with mind, body, and soul, or just treating the symptoms and removing the symptoms of what's happening for the person?
Well, I think we have a separate department, if you like, you know, a department of psychology, for example, is separate.
Mm-hmm.
So if a doctor can't work out what's wrong with you physically, he might say, okay, there's something wrong with your mind, you need to go and see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But there's no integration of the two, which, in a sense, Western medicine sees the human person as a machine, and we've lost any conception that there's a spirit or a soul in there. And I think this is why we don't have any regard for the sanctity of human life anymore. I mean, you look what's happening with IVF and the destruction of embryos, this kind of thing. It's indicated in a Western medicine is very much out of harmony with God's plan for the human race, really.
Mm-hmm.
That we can do these things to human beings.
How then, as an Orthodox Christian, and you practice traditional medicine, are you having any problems there? Are you seeing any clashes, or are they mixing well for you? They seem to be mixing well for you.
From my point of view, they integrate very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think my problem is that especially around here, that Taoism and Eastern religion is seen as quite fashionable. It seems to fit in with a modern idea that there's no real truth, no real objective truth out there. There's no right or wrong, no morality. People reject external authority in favor of so-called personal freedom. People come to see me, they're expecting maybe have a little Buddha in the room or something like that. People walk in here and they see there's a whole row of icons on the shelf, and people are often quite surprised about that. And people say, hi, I thought you would be a Buddhist or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people are a little bit surprised by that. I haven't had any complaints so far, but
okay.
People are a little bit surprised.
Well, that's interesting. Let's ask this question. How about your faith? I'm sure that your faith has shaped the work you do. Obviously, if you have icons on the wall, something's going on there, particularly with acupuncture when you're working with hands-on with other people. How is that working?
Well, I don't think I could do what I do without the help of Christ, really, because that's essentially where I get the strength I needed to do the work, because I work with a lot of people who are depressed, anxious, very fearful, and this is often what's actually causing the bodily illness. So somebody comes in and they can't sleep very well, or they keep bursting into uncontrollable anger or rage, this kind of thing. So I think it helps me to kind of hold that and to create a peaceful space where people feel comfortable and nourished, in a sense. But then that's difficult, because as I understand it, what they really need is to come to Christ for the highest sense of healing. But people haven't come to see a priest, they haven't come to see a preacher. So it's not really appropriate for me to say, hey, you know, if you really want to sort this out, why don't you start going to church? That wouldn't really be appropriate.
I know that here in America, when I've visited different parishioners, either be at their home or in hospital or in hospice, they have fatal diseases, and they're going to be leaving us. I wonder what it's like for you to treat people, especially people who have fatal diseases, when you know that they don't have a strong faith or they don't believe in anything. Many times we're even told of, please, Father, when you go to visit this person, don't let them know that you're going there because they're dying. So even death is feared. We can't talk about death. As an acupuncturist or someone who practices with the Chinese medicine, I'm sure you must face that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always having conversations with people about dying and death, really, and it seems to me that not that many people are prepared for it. Sometimes even Christian people are not that prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to talk about it. And sometimes I may try and raise the conversation a little bit, and it's clear that people just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to go there because it's a very fearful subject. And if you're not prepared for death, of course, it's bound to be full of fear. Mm-hmm. So again, it's very sad. It's a missed opportunity.
I know here in America that a lot of people are looking into alternative medicines for various reasons. What do you think the future holds for people like yourself?
Well, I think we're getting more and more busy, which is good in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think I tend to use the word complementary instead of alternative mm-hmm. medicine, really.
I like that too.
Because yeah. We're not trying to compete with the mainstream in a sense. I think certainly I'm trying to build bridges and work with the mainstream. I'm working at the moment to set up a project for cancer patients in my local hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that Chinese medicine becomes more and more accepted, but I hope that we don't lose our own values or focus on the body and the soul, because I think the reason many people are turning to Chinese medicine is exactly because we don't see the body as a machine. And some people come to me from the doctor and they say, you know, the doctor didn't even look at me. He took some blood tests and he did some scans, but he didn't even look at me as a human being. And people feel a little bit dehumanized, I think, by the approach of Western medicine. So I think it's very important for us to hold our ground, and that we try and retain this vision of the human person as a integrated entity of body and spirit.
Finally, what books or websites can you recommend for listeners who'd like to learn more about acupuncture or, as we said, the complementary treatments that you talk about?
Yeah, well, my own website, there's a few articles on there introducing some ideas about Chinese medicine.
What website is that? Can you give that to us?
That's henrymcgraw.com.
Okay.
I've got a book coming out in America, actually, in September, Traditional Chinese Medicine Approaches to Cancer. So this will give you a basic outline of Chinese medicine and how it works. I think a good introductory book is a book by Ted Kapchuk, called The Web That Has No Weaver. So this is a basic good introduction to Chinese medicine. So I think those are good places to start. And there's plenty of good websites out there. So just get online and see what you can find, I would say.
Very good. Well, this has been fascinating, Henry. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Father. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
If you missed any of those recommendations from Henry McGrath, we'll have them listed on our website at myocn.com. I find it fascinating to hear someone share the path they took to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then to learn where that path has taken them as they serve Him. If you have questions about what it means to follow Christ, please go to our website at myocn.net and click on the About button on the homepage. That's myocn.net. There are all kinds of ways you can interact with us, and it would be a privilege to hear from you. That's myocn.net. Well, our next guest is Father Alexander Gussetis. Father Gussetis has been with us on the program several times. He's been a CPA, a pastor, a university professor, and an author. He is a graduate of Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology, and is here this time to talk with us about his book, A Rebel's Journey, a novel of doubt and Christian transformation.
Thanks for joining us again, Father.
Thank you, Father. It's a pleasure.
Most of us think of out-of-control teenagers when we hear the word rebel, but there are other types of rebels and rebellion, aren't they?
There are. In fact, we can look within our own church's history to see how many of the saints of our church could be defined as a rebel. A rebel could be defined as a person who resists or defies mm-hmm. generally accepted conventions. So if we look at people like St. Paul, who through his missionary work caused a great deal of concern and unrest in challenging the status quo,
mm-hmm.
and of course, which eventually led to his martyrdom, but also incredible growth for the church. Also, a person like St. Catherine, who through her intelligence and through her eloquence, again, challenged the status quo and could be defined and considered a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Even looking carefully at the instructions that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10, he's advising the apostles of eventually fulfilling the role as a rebel, of being wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove, mm-hmm. that I send you out sheep amongst wolves, that you will cause dissension between families and friends. So I don't think we should always identify a rebel as something negative, but it's something that's perhaps at the core of our Christian approach to life in this fallen world.
So we're talking about a rebel with a cause, right?
That would be correct. That's okay. Correct. I think it would depend on the approach that we take mm-hmm. And how we go about being a rebel. But in terms of the term itself, I think it has a place within our Christian context.
Well, most young people like to rebel against their parents. I've dealt with that myself. society, maybe even the church. I mean, what advice would you give to young people trying to battle injustices that they see in the world without being a negative type of rebel that we spoke about?
Sure. I think if I could read for you the prologue of this book,
sure.
Rebel's Journey, which I think summarizes perhaps a Christian approach. The prologue reads of an ancient saying, "I was a revolutionary when I was young, and all my prayer to God was, Lord, give me the energy to change the world. As I approached middle-aged and realized that half my life was gone without changing a single soul, I changed my prayer to, Lord, give me the grace to change all those who come in contact with me. Just my family and friends, and I shall be satisfied. Now that I am an old man and my days are numbered, my one prayer is, Lord, give me the grace to change myself. If I had prayed for this right from the start, I should not have wasted my life."
Oh, my. Where is that from?
Oh, it's an unknown author, but it really is the basis for this book, because it makes a great impression that change has to happen from within.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something that all of the saints of the church and Christ himself did not necessarily change society from an external perspective,
mm-hmm.
but all of that change has to happen from within, and once that takes place, then we transform and impact the world around us.
Well, you mentioned the book, so let's go to that. A lot of the characters in the book don't just believe in Christ, they experience Christ. Can you explain that a little bit and expand on it?
We might note that there's a distinction between knowing God and knowing about God. There are many of us that can know about God, even the demons know about God, but the distinction is to know God implies an intimate relationship, a living, breathing dialogue that takes place with God. And the main character of the book, whose name is Lefty, Eleftherios,
mm-hmm.
has great difficulty in the beginning in understanding that. I think he approaches life from a very Western, rationalistic, logical perspective. If A plus B equals C, then life makes sense. But our faith teaches that one's relationship with Christ is something that sustains us, and not necessarily having all of the knowledge. Although knowledge itself is a gift, but the true basis of our faith is one of relating and connecting with God.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that great distinction between knowing God and knowing about God. And as Christians, both are good, but knowing God is much more the greater virtue.
As in most Orthodox Christian families, the grandma or the yaya seems to play a very important role in people's faith.
Right.
In this sense, she played a role in faith, but also after her death. Talk about that for us.
The purpose of having the yaya or the babushka in this novel is that she lived out this simple but solid faith. She did not know the technical theologies of the church. She could not articulate it. But there was a living and real relationship with Christ that she imbued. So it was not head knowledge, but it was that connection of Christ that made the difference. And again, that's the piece that Lefty was missing. Lefty was an intelligent person, but was not connecting with the real-life relationship that one can live out with Christ. So there are a number of people within the novel who are living and good models and examples for Lefty. And eventually he gets it,
mm-hmm.
but he needed to have this kind of interaction with many of these faithful people to finally understand that this faith is real and it's alive, and it's not just something that we find like an answer in a book.
The protagonist in your book looks into Buddhism a lot, and you actually spend quite a bit of time in the book talking about the tenets of Buddhism. And someone would ask, and I'm going to ask you, why'd you do that?
Well, the main character, Lefty, lacked and inner peace. He was filled with inner turmoil. And many of the tenets of Buddhism strive to limit suffering and to limit our desires. And Lefty's girlfriend, whose name is Irene, and again, all these names are specific because they are telling us a story also. Mm-hmm. Irene, meaning Irini peacefulness,
okay.
She had this connection with Christ. She tries to convey to Lefty that the tenets of Buddhism are fine, but it's also a religion of self-actualization. But the message of Christ is about love, it's about relationship, it's about being a part of the body of Christ and something larger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my last book was about world religions, it's a topic I'm familiar with, I just felt that of all of the other ideologies and theologies that are out there, Buddhism was something that I thought the character could be able to connect with. Eventually, he becomes frustrated with it, but I wanted him to be able to reach out to something else before eventually coming back and experiencing what Christianity can offer to him.
What do you hope young people will get from this book? What do you want them to take away from it?
I think the message and what inspired me to write this is to help people, especially young people, to make the faith their own. There's a certain point in time in which our parents and our parish can no longer carry the load for us. And there has to be that certain point in time that we must ask questions, we must search, and we have to make the Christian faith our own. And I think the struggle that Lefty went through is a healthy one, it's a holy one, because eventually he came to the point that he made the faith his own on his terms, or not on his terms, but in a way that he can appreciate it much to a much greater degree than when it's something that's simply given to you. And I think that's a greater challenge for us as Cradle Orthodox. And I think that's why you see such a wonderful impact that those who have converted into the faith have on the Orthodox Church. They bring a freshness and a reverence that our Cradle Orthodox need to a great degree. So that's the most important message, is make this your own. It usually happens when you're in college or young adults, and that's why Lefty's in that time period of 18 to 30, somewhere in there. But it could happen at any time in one's life. But eventually, you have to make the faith your own. We can no longer just depend on those holy people around us to try to spoon-feed us.
But aren't we going against the current here, Father? I mean, you're asking for a struggle. You're asking for a journey. And most of us today, I've said this before on other programs, we are like water. We follow the path of least resistance. So how do we get the strength to do that struggle? And I guess the basic question is, why should we struggle? Why don't we just flow and go with everything that comes at us?
Well, then we would be left to the whatever circumstances are around us. But I think the way I would frame that to a young person is, listen, you have a rebellious spirit. The church is rebellious. The church is countercultural. Look at Christ and how he upset the standards of his day. Read about all of these saints who stood up in the face of resistance and yet lived out their faith. So I guess I would try to frame it in the sense that you're a rebel, so is the church, so is Christ, so are the saints. And this is how they went about to try to understand and figure all of this stuff out and to make it their own.
What about other books, Father? What can we recommend to young people, especially the ones who may be questioning their faith as they're listening to this?
Father, there are a number of books, so many great books that are available to us, and there are certainly websites. This particular book comes from Light and Life, Rebel's Journeys from Light and Life. Their catalog is extensive, so is Holy Cross, St. Vladimir's, and others. But I think what really will make a change in young people are the connections that they make with good mentors and people who have lived the faith and who are living the faith. We can read about the faith, and that's important, but I think when a person is in that position of being a young rebel or trying or be confused with the world around them and with the church, the difference is going to be made in a relationship that they search out for and struggle with. And I think that connection, that relationship, is what will make an eternal change.
Finally, Father, I just have to wonder about this book. Is part of it autobiographical?
It really isn't, because personally, I neither rebelled against the faith, nor did I have a strong conversion experience like Lefty did. I've always been close to the church, and I'm thankful to God for that. But I meet people every day who struggle with the same issues that Lefty did. And so I think the story will resonate with people, and it's simply what I've experienced and heard about and put down in paper form.
Thanks for joining us, Father. Listeners, be sure to visit us online at www.myocn.net to hear more interviews with Father Alexander Gussetis.
Thank you so much, Father.
All of Father Gussetti's books are available through our web store at myocn.net. And when you purchase a resource in our web store, you'll be linked to Amazon, and a portion of the money you spend will come back to the Orthodox Christian Network as a donation. It's a great way to help us financially and build your library. Again, click on the link to our web store on the homepage at myocn.net. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ as well. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.